Again, good morning. Beautiful, beautiful morning. A little bit windy, but a lot more warmer. So the Lord did answer prayers. Maybe it would have happened anyway, but either way, we'll see the Lord did it. Because he's behind and wants to answer prayers. Anyway, I want Brenda to put up a scripture here. It's out of Isaiah 10:12, sort of a prelude into my message here. It's Hosea 10, verse 12 out of King James Version. Once he gets it up there, so sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And if you do this, you will get an inheritance. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Lord Jesus, you will open our understanding, Lord Jesus. I know your aim and your will in life is to free us. Free us from all aspects of life, from whether it's from self-righteousness, from religion, which you fought the most with or contended the most with in your time, and it's still a contention today, and from sin. Lord, that we will be able to freely serve you and through your word, understand that we will not perish for the lack of knowledge. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start my message today by repeating a little bit of some of the stuff Pastor Dave had last week. He established in his message last week on the simplicity of the cross and on how you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So once you call upon the name of Jesus for salvation, which we also call becoming born again by the Spirit of God, that gains you entrance into the kingdom. That's salvation. That's eternal life. That's where your spirit man became born again. And you have to rightly divide the word of truth. The spirit and the flesh will never, ever dwell in unity. They can't. They're contrary to each other. So therefore, that's why either this has to be changed or put into the ground, whatever comes first. But either one will happen. But there will always be an enmity against each other. And therefore, if we're honest with ourselves, we will always struggle with sin because we have a sinful flesh. Remember that Jesus took away the root cause of sin, which was a spiritual matter. So he fixed that. So I was reading a scripture a week ago, and that slightly confused me. It got me to thinking. And the scripture, I'll get into this, what it is. And the scripture that had two words in it that really cleared up my confusion when I started studying it. And again, I'm going to elaborate more on this. And the scripture and the words that really caught my eye. And here's the difference of the words that clarified the scripture for me. There's a scripture that talks about entering into the kingdom of God, and there's another one talking still about the kingdom of God, which is inheriting the kingdom of God. They are not the same thing. And once I'm through this, you will be a lot freer. One has to do with simply going in, or if you will, entering into the kingdom. That gains you entrance into the kingdom of God. That is salvation, what we call salvation. And the other one is inheriting, which is receiving things or possessions that gives you something that's above entering. Entering is just, here's a ticket to get in. There's other stuff in the kingdom that you can get, but there's a catch to those. You have to work for those. It's not for your salvation. That's to get rewards. I'll get into this deeper yet. So I did my Google search, as any smart pastor would do on this matter. I entered in, what's the difference between entering the kingdom and versus inheriting the kingdom? And the first thing that popped up, actually not one of the first things, was this. This what I'm going to get into. And before I get into that, I must tell you that I did my study on what the writer had to say and wholeheartedly agree with it through scripture. And also, you check it out for yourselves and see if it is scripturally sound and it makes sense. Because I don't want to bring any false doctrine. You have to check it out with scripture. But when it comes to Christianity, God's will for you is to become free. not free to live in sin. That's not freedom. That's still bondage. But free to serve him. And I'm not plagiarizing here, but most of what I'm going to read is not my own. So here it goes. So let's imagine that a certain wealthy father had two sons. The brothers grew up together at their family's estate, and once they were old enough to take their own path in life, their father called them and said, "You will both always be my children, my sons. But I would like you each to stay here in my household and manage the household affairs and inherit the estate one day." This reminds me a little bit of the prodigal son there, where he took his inheritance and squandered it. He still had entrance, as you know how the story ends. Now let's say that one of the brothers stayed with the father's household to do as he asked. As a result, he inherited everything. All this while, the other brother went and traveled the world instead. He would only visit rarely and grew distant with his father and brother, but he was always welcome to enter into the house as a visitor. But he inherited nothing from the kingdom. Now, this illustrates the concept that we will be looking at in this chapter. Just like there is a big difference between inheriting a house and entering a house, there is even a bigger difference between entering the kingdom and inheriting the kingdom. Let's take a look at our first verse, which is John 3:3. Unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's entrance. This is what gains you entrance into the kingdom of God. No strings attached. Only thing that is attached to this is that you must believe. You must call out upon the name of the Lord. That gets you entrance into the kingdom of God. Into the kingdom of God. So what follows this in John chapter 3 is the most famous verse of all time. The well-known John 3:16. Even as the premier evangelistic verse comes as an explanation for what it means to enter the kingdom of God. Because Jesus is so crystal clear in John 3 about what is required for gaining everlasting life, we don't have to wonder what this means. We know without a doubt that entering the kingdom is a synonym for everlasting life. That means it's the same thing. So entering into the kingdom means everlasting life. So if you have everlasting life, you have entered the kingdom. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you. It's not that you don't say, observe, say, here it's there, or lo, it's there. It's not. It's within you. But you can grow within that kingdom and get rewards from it. So we know without a doubt that entering the kingdom is a synonym for having everlasting life. Since everlasting life is a free gift for all those who believe in Jesus, then entrance into the kingdom is free for all those who believe. Entering the kingdom is salvation. Now that we've established the entering the kingdom of God is about salvation, let's take a look at Galatians 5, verse 19, 20, and 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which means strife, discord, and contention, emulations. This is a strange one. I looked up emulations. This is what it means: enthusiasm, fervor, and passion, and devotion, or an eagerness to achieve something. That means you're going about your own effort to achieve something. And this is what the Bible says: if you do this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But hang on to your seats here. Wrath, strife, seditions, which is disturbances leading to fighting, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, which is drunken parties that end in sexual debauchery, and such like. So there's many more, because there's a different place where it also says liars shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Of which I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that throw you for a loop right now? You're a little bit confused. You're only, what am I getting at? Hang on. Let's do a little bit of an honesty test. How many of you would fail at one of those? If you'd be honest with yourself, I'm not saying raise your hands, because I'll have to raise my hand too. But if you'll be honest with yourselves, you will fail at one of these, whether now or in the future. There is something here that will not allow you to gain entrance in an inheritance, says inheritance, into the kingdom of God. So now that we've honestly failed, or truthfully failed the honesty test, because I know there's not one here that passes every one of these. So a casual reading of these verses might send shivers up the spine of the well-meaning Christian. Especially the last line makes it sound as if entrance into the kingdom is not free, as we previously thought. All of a sudden, it's not a free gift. There's a string attached to this. And remember, in the flesh, you will fail at all times. So there is never going to be a time when you are perfect in the flesh. You strive towards it. You strive towards the high calling, towards the mark. As a boxer, the Bible says that you train, you fight, and you work to be perfect in the flesh, but you'll never achieve it. Some have proposed that there is a leniency in entrance because Paul said, those who practice such thing will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this. The word practice is emphasized as if what Paul means is only those that continue in repetitive sins are barred from entering the kingdom. Now it gets interesting. However, there's a problem with this interpretation. How much sin is too much to be let into heaven? Ask yourself that question. How much is too much? Let's say we practice these things. How much is too much and how little is too little? After all, is it okay to commit a little murder, a little adultery, but not too much? Would that person be led into heaven? The one that tries to enter into the kingdom by desperately trying to keep himself from doing any of the above mentioned would never know if he ever qualifies, because at one point you will say, well, I failed there, I failed here, I fail. So you're never sure of whether you actually have salvation. It still gets more interesting here. So, however, the Bible does offer assurance of salvation in a number of places. So we know there's two different things it's talking about here. So emphasizing the word practice does not get us out of this pickle. Before you start sweating bullets, be calm. The answer is actually more simple than you might think. Understanding this verse does not come down to one word. Does come down to one word. But the word is not practice. What's the word that will clear up the confusion? It's inherit. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That changes this whole verse. From what I used to think it means. Notice the presence of the word inherit in the sentence. It's easy to miss it if you haven't been made aware of the difference. The verse doesn't actually mention entering the kingdom of God at all. It's not talking about salvation, but instead of an inheritance. And we all know there are people that are born again who are living in sin. We know somebody who is. Doesn't mean he's not going to heaven. He is putting a condition on his life that could either come down with the rod that God is going to send to him, or premature death. That's what's going to happen in that person's life. I scrolled a little bit too fast here. So as we illustrated at the beginning of this chapter, entering a house and inheriting a house are two very different things. Doesn't it make sense that entering a kingdom and inheriting a kingdom would be separate things as well? In fact, they are. To inherit the kingdom of God speaks of what Jesus called treasures in heaven. Inheritance is an ownership. Those who have salvation are welcome to come into heaven. Those who practice discipleship will have ownership in the kingdom. We can be stakeholders by discipleship. What a wonderful revelation this is. In case this is a new concept to you, let's look at another place where Paul defines what it means by the word inheritance. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, out of the King James Version. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. See, there's a condition now when it comes to serving. There is no condition to salvation. It's free. We can never let that stray from our minds and our hearts, that salvation is a free gift. It will stay free. It will always be free. But here is a condition to this, what he's talking about. The condition is inheritance, getting something from for what you've done. So whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is something in it for you when you serve Christ. For salvation, the only thing that's in it for you is salvation and gaining entrance into the kingdom. So we should really thank Paul for being so clear here. By using the word inheritance, he means reward. As we have established in the previous chapters, gifts and rewards are not the same thing. Once more, it's clear that he is not talking about the gift of salvation, but reward for a hard-working disciple. In fact, he even tells us who will get this reward. He explained that those who serve the Lord, which is a reference to good work done in obedience to Jesus, disciples can expect a reward and a reward of inheritance. So the modern definition of inheritance might easily mislead us. For inheritance today is often evenly divided amongst the family members, the living sons and daughters. When a parent dies, that was not the case in the ancient world. In fact, a father would give inheritance unevenly to his children. He would often decide who was most worthy and faithful to inherit and run the family estate when he died. This definition most closely fits what Paul is saying here. So entering the kingdom of God is a synonym of salvation. However, for those who take up the mantle of discipleship and remain committed, they will inherit the kingdom of God. The saved will enter. The disciples will inherit the kingdom of God. In closing, I have one more scripture to share that comes out of 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, out of the King James Version, which is a very well shown verse scripture here that we've had numerous times, but it makes a lot of sense to what I'm getting at. That is, we need to study that to show thyself approved unto God. In other words, study the word. Show that God approves of you. I used to have this in reverse. I thought it meant I'm supposed to study, then God approves me because I'm so good and I'm studying. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying study the word and show to yourself that God does approve of you. When you're born again, you're a child of God. He approves of you. You are one of his. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Does this make sense to you? Does it line up with scripture in your eyes? That there's a difference between entering and inheritance. For me, it was like, and even other scriptures now that I read, I see so much clarity and makes so much more sense to me when I read the scripture. All of a sudden, it's not talking about salvation. You can never mix salvation with works. Works are good. They're very good. They're good for our fellow man. They have nothing to do with salvation. The Bible, it says we should maintain good works, and it has nothing to do with God, as far as that is. But when we are disciples, then we are working for God, and we're getting, then gonna get an inheritance. And this is what I hope will clear up a lot of things in your hearts and in your minds, and enable you to live that free life that God wants us to live in serving Him. So in closing, I have to just say amen.